And this is KUOW Seattle, where the record is spinning. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. And on Tuesday, the Supreme Court upheld Michigan's ban on the use of race as a factor in admissions to state universities. In 1998, in Washington state, voters approved a measure that prohibits preferential treatment based on race.
But that doesn't mean the discussion about the role of race as a higher education admissions factor are over. Just last week, Western Washington University's president made headlines when he called his school too white. Bruce Shepard went on to say that if the school remains as white as it is today, it will be pushed to mediocrity.
We need to kick up the pace, and that's one reason why I made the statements I have been making, is that there is an urgency here that we as an institution face, and really that our country faces. A more diverse student body enhances the quality of everybody's education.
Well, Shepard's comments didn't fly well with everybody. In fact, State Representative Jason Overstreet thought Shepard's comments were absolutely inappropriate.
This is the level of discourse that we're receiving from, of all places, a university president that's funded by taxpayers and students. This is, I believe, an insult, not just to those who have lighter skin, but to those who have darker skin and everybody in between. And I think it's entirely reasonable to ask for him to apologize to all of the aforementioned, and to resign his position.
That's Washington State Representative Jason Overstreet. Stuart Taylor studies legal and policy issues as a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He's focused on race as a factor in college admissions. He's co-author of the book Mismatch: How Affirmative Action Hurts Students It's Intended to Help and Why Universities Won't Admit It. Stuart, thanks for joining us.
Very nice to be with you.
Affirmative action, or at least the part that uses race as a factor in admissions, is something that's been an issue for many, many years. Why is it still such a hot button issue?
Oh, it's still very hot because, most obviously, just about every selective university in the country practices what they call affirmative action, and I think would more accurately be called racial preferences, because all it's come to mean to a lot of them is, you know, we want more black kids and Hispanic kids, we want fewer Asian kids especially, and fewer white kids, and we're prepared to rig the admissions to do that, even if a lot of the black kids are brought in without warning into academic situations in which they can't compete. I think the black kids are the worst victims of this, so it's hot in part because there's a system that the country's elites, including the media elite, and educational and a lot of business people, seem to think they have to have racial preferences in order to have respectable numbers of black and Hispanic people in their leadership ranks and in high positions. And I sympathize with them on that. It's a difficult problem they face. But they're willing to bend all standards and to disadvantage lots of people, including the black people, who they deceive into thinking they're well-qualified, in order to pursue this. And meanwhile, the vast majority of the American people, including black people, by the way, in honest polls, say they are opposed to the consideration of race in university admissions.
When we look around the world, where does the U.S. Rank or fit in terms of using race as a factor in admission or even hiring decisions?
Well, I think the U.S., I'm not an expert on the history, I think the U.S. probably invented this in both directions, right? We used to exclude black people from our universities, and as it's worth remembering that that wasn't all that long ago, the 50s, the 60s, we were still doing that. And now it turns out we're not really excluding anybody, but we're using race pervasively to let in more blacks and Hispanics and American Indians and fewer Asians and whites. Other countries seem to be doing something similar, Brazil, India. I don't know whether they thought it up on their own or started it sooner or whether they got the idea from the United States, but they did. It's interesting, by the way, and I'd love to go into a little bit of the history of that term, affirmative action, and why I think it's misleading.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
That term was first used in the race context when President Kennedy in 1962, I think it was, and President Johnson in 1965, adopted executive orders that called for affirmative action. That was the operative phrase. But the rest of the language basically said to try really, really hard to end discrimination against racial minorities and to find opportunities for them and to seek them out and recruit them when they're qualified, but they've been excluded by traditional hierarchies and labor unions. But there wasn't a whisper about racial preference in that, not a whisper about saying, we'll take this one, you know, I want you to take this kid because he's black over that kid because he's white. And in fact, the language of the executive orders, like the language of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, flat out precludes racial discrimination in any direction, including what we now call affirmative action. So affirmative action has come to mean the opposite of what President Kennedy meant. And lots of people are still deceived by the difference between what it really means to the advocates of it now, which is racial preferences. And so affirmative action does much better in polls than honest terminology about what's happening here, because a lot of people think when you say affirmative action, you're talking about just trying really, really hard to be fair. That's not what affirmative action means today to its advocates.
I'm speaking with Brookings Institution fellow Stuart Taylor. Western Washington University's president said his school's too white. He says the school needs to put more resources and focus on attracting a diverse student body. What do you think about those comments?
Well, I thought the way he expressed them was really quite boneheaded. You know, it's too white. But I think he was reflecting what the vast majority of university presidents and administrators in the country think. And they act, they largely act on that assumption. I don't know what he done exactly, and I wouldn't condemn him for one stupid comment unless it's part of a pattern, and it seemed like it might be. But you know, he's what his problem is that Washington State, like some other states, has adopted a law that says no racial preferences. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have racial preferences if he can, and I imagine he's doing everything he can to put them in, you know, sort of sub rosa. But that law is making it hard for him to get respectable numbers of black and Hispanic students, and he's upset about that. What's the reason it's making it hard? Because the pool, something that people like him don't like to talk about, the pool of well-qualified black and academic high school seniors who are well-qualified for a place like the University of Washington is tiny, and that's why, in order to get respectable numbers, they will accept kids with a full grade point in high school grades below the median of the class, say, and maybe 400, 300 or 400 points below the median of the class in SAT scores.
I wish we had a lot more time to fill out this conversation. We'll have to call you back and talk about the way to fix this. Stuart Taylor, Brookings Institution Fellow and co-author of Mismatch, How Affirmative Action Hurts Students It's Intended to Help and Why Universities Won't Admit It. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. Love to talk about fixing it. Won't be easy.
It won't be easy. It's The Record from KUOW.